all year. Myself, Keller, your commissioner, Christopher Nutter, that's KDP Nutter, Fuzzy Logic, Governed Spy, Cap 34, and Rush. We're all here for the open radio show. It's recording, guys, so let's try and stay on topic, keep this as short as possible. First thing I wanted to bring up to all of you, and the way I'm going to do this, I'm going to try and just pitch it to you guys so we're not all talking over to each other. So I'll try and toss it up to you guys and say whatever you want, and then we'll move on to the next topic. So season in general, anything you want to say about your team, the season, the playoff teams, predictions, maybe your Super Bowl predictions. This is TMFL only. We'll talk about the NFL afterwards. But we'll stick to TMFL topics first, then we'll talk NFL when we're done with that. So Nutter, now remember, there's five of us, so keep it concise here. Anything you have to say about the season, playoff teams, predictions, that sort of thing?
Disappointed in my own team, but not really knowing anything about Denver, taking him over. Tebow was a bad experiment. Didn't really work out well.
And you traded.
Glad to see I actually won the last two games. But
where did you
hard
Tebow?
Before then. I actually sent Tebow to San Diego.
San Diego, okay.
Before that whole thing with Warfer or whoever he was happened, and he ran off.
Played one game and then left. That was awesome.
Yep.
Playoff teams, predictions?
For the league in general, I think probably Baltimore is going to represent the AFC. I think they've got too much in the way of firepower offensively. Flacco is putting up monster numbers in any other year besides this season where Matt Ryan's
and his receiver,
superhuman.
His receiver, too, Dallas Strong, has had a monster year. What about
NFC-wise, I'm going to go out on a limb, even though Atlanta's got some magical passing attack that, this side of Tim Tebow couldn't stop. I'm going to go with San Francisco.
San Francisco.
To represent
Jay
the
Sims,
NFC.
Huh?
I like the running teams. I'm a running team myself, so I gotta go, gotta hold true to myself. And I'll give San Francisco winning the Super Bowl over Baltimore 35-27.
Going all the way there. Okay, Fuzzy, what do you got for me?
In the AFC, I tend to agree with Nutter. I think Baltimore has all the right tools. But you can't count out the Jets, the Dolphins. I know a new guy took them over. He's made quite a splash.
Yeah, he has.
NFC is just so much tougher.
Agreed.
I don't think the Niners can make it that far. I think Cap is just too great at making adjustments. I think he probably clinches the NFC again. But I think maybe Washington could give him a good fight. Well, I don't know how the seeds are going to be worked out.
Yeah, I wish we knew a little bit more. There's still a couple games to be played. We'll be advancing after this radio show. But I'm going to go to Curtis, actually, because Curtis in that NFC South, I know he's going to have something to say. Come on, Curtis, what do you got for me? Curtis is gone. Okay.
Oh, I'm here. I'm sorry. My bad. It's been rough for me, the NFC South. The Saints, we started out, I think, like 5-4, and I was like, man, it's going to be a rough season. And I can't beat the Falcons for whatever reason, so I knew my only shot was getting in the wild card.
Yeah.
But I do thank Fuzzy for kind of giving it up, because he did have it.
So Fuzzy, but, I didn't know that, actually. So Fuzzy, you're not in? You're not going to make it in?
No, my loss to Cap, and then my loss to who did I even play last? Yeah, put me out of it.
Oh, wow.
At 10-6, that's rough.
Oh, yeah, the Bucks, right? Rytai.
Yeah, I couldn't remember the guy's name. Mm-hmm. He and the Panthers, my team, were the only two teams to defeat the Falcons this year. So I think he wasn't around for a large portion of his games. So I think he could be a contender next year. But it was overall a disappointing season. It seems like after I traded Gamble away, I just didn't have enough depth in the secondary to stop the heavy passing attacks.
Secondary is huge. We saw that last year in Madden. Secondary was a big deal. You got to cover all those receivers. All right, Spy. I'm going to do my best to hear what you're saying here. So what do you got for us? AFC, NFC playoff teams and Super Bowl predictions.
Yeah. I mean, I thought Fuzzy was going to get through, so he would have been a contender. But definitely the Falcons, I would certainly say, will be there again. And I'd probably agree with the Baltimore Ravens. They'd probably go quite far as well.
So you're going Ravens and Falcons?
Yeah, I would say so, yeah. Pretty much.
Time out. Where are you from?
I'm from Scotland.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I wanted to give my predictions in, too.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, Curtis.
Yeah, I wanted to give Baltimore and the AFC. And the NFC, I'm going to go with the Lions. Because he got Calvin Johnson, I don't know how I beat him. I honestly don't. And then he's going to have his rookie, what's his name, Tyrmere Jenkins or something like that. He got like 99 speed. He was injured when I played him, so he's going to be back for the playoffs. So he's going to be real tough.
Yeah, Hova's pretty good. Lions, it seems like everyone's on the Baltimore in the AFC, though, right? I mean, I know the AFC's pretty weak, but...
I was looking at the...
I wouldn't consider us that weak, Keller. I mean, Baltimore's just got a real hard, tough defense. You still got Ray Lewis out there and Ed Reed. How can you go wrong defensively with Baltimore?
And he got T. Sizzle on one side and Ware on the other side.
Yep.
Yeah, he made a lot of smart moves. That puts him in a great position.
Yeah, that's Bob Jr. I think that's the Ravens. Okay, let's go on to...
Don't forget the Jets and Dolphins.
Yeah.
I would say they...
I think if there is another team that's going to do it... I mean, no one said anything about Houston. I don't know if the Raiders are going to get in, but that would be an interesting team, I think. And then I think the Jets and the Dolphins, both of those teams could make a run at it. We'll see. I want to move on to awards. How do you guys... This is something we haven't really talked about. How do you guys want to do awards? Which awards do you guys want to do? How do you want to do voting? Do you just want to send them to me? Do you want to do it like on a poll on the forum? Stuff like that. Let's go to Chris.
I'm going to say do it right in the forum with a poll. You know, put it right out there. Let everybody voice their opinions out. And, you know, the whole league and TSO in general can see who... You know, the league believes is the true award winners for it.
What would you want to vote for? How many awards? Because it can't be too many because people get sick of it and they don't want to participate.
Overall MVP, offensive and defensive player of the year, and rookie of the year, offensive and defensive. Maybe a GM of the year too, because we always had that.
See, that's too much though. That's too much in my opinion. Fuzzy, what do you think?
I was listening to Chris. I mean, if you think that's too much, then maybe. But I tend to agree with what he said. I mean, I like the sound of all those categories.
So MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Offensive Rookie, Defensive Rookie, and GM.
I think we should keep it simple. MVP and GM of the Year. That's it.
Well, I want MVP, Rookie of the Year, and what?
GM?
Offense. Yeah, and GM, three.
Three. I think three is probably good. Spy, anything?
Yeah, I would agree with three.
Three? I think three is a good number, in my opinion. I'll circle that on my little notepad here. Okay, anything from you guys about the upcoming draft? Any players you guys are looking at? Maybe talk about your team's needs at all? Let's start with Rush.
Well, you know, the Chiefs kicked ass. Yeah. You know?
Oh, shit. Somebody please say something about this.
But I think I'm staring at a top five pick. I don't know. I think maybe third or something. So I've never picked that high ever. And, you know, I've been playing online franchise for about 3 years. So I've never had a high pick like that. So I don't know. I haven't really done a lot of research yet, but I will.
You're full of shit. You full of shit.
I've looked at some, but I need to do more, and, you know, I think I'm going to be able to get pretty much whoever I want.
Do you have the top user pick?
I think I do.
He does.
I think I do.
So why not just tell us who you're going to pick?
Well, I don't know.
Nope, correction, Keller, he doesn't. Seattle does, and D. Colts gets the top pick. Tennessee's number one.
I can tell you, since no one else has, you know, besides one is above me, you know, that there's a middle linebacker that I want, and the corner, a middle linebacker, corner, and the free safety. Those are the three that I'm looking at.
Yeah, those are pretty much the premier.
Pretty much everyone has looked at.
Yeah, those are pretty much the premier positions.
I think middle linebacker probably more of a need than anything else right now.
Is there any way to view the draft class or not yet?
You pretty much just have to, you know, Google around online and look around and see what you can find. Curtis, I want to go to you because we had that interesting trade last year. Are there any plans this year for another trade like that? Or
actually, I am looking to trade my pick. I don't know where it's going to be. Hopefully, it's at the end of the first round somewhere. I'm looking to get – I need some help either on the defensive line or someone at linebacker somewhere. But I do need help mostly primarily on defense. I'm pretty settled with offense. Unless Marcus Colston gets some kind of dramatic regression or something. That's pretty much it.
Okay. Spy, what do you got for us?
I would think my defensive line needs work.
Yeah?
Offensively, I think I'm okay. It's just maybe a safety as well.
Safety, D-line. What about a running back, no?
I'm happy with running back. He's pretty good. So.
Who do you got at running back? Who's the Patriots running back right now?
The Falcons guy. Got a bit.
Oh, that's right. You traded for Michael Turner.
Yeah, Michael Turner. Go ahead. He's solid. He's good.
Yeah, I bet he is. Chris, what do you got?
Being that I'll be picking right behind Rush with the Broncos at a wonderful 4-12, I just had to go on a 2-game win streak to end the season or blow my chances at the number one pick. I'm going to be looking probably wide receiver, like big play wide receiver, Calvin Johnson-esque type big time. Or cornerback.
Calvin Johnson player.
Yeah.
Well, somebody with like big size that can make, you know, the downfield leaping catch. Right now, Eddie Royal and Demaryius Thomas are not, you know, big, tall, physical wide receivers.
What does Demaryius Thomas have? I mean, he's pretty fast. He's pretty big, isn't he?
He's not short.
No, he's just not a physical, like, his release is not real good off the line. So that's the problem that I had a lot this year is my wide receivers just can't. Planted at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, that was
the problem. I think that you might be facing is I don't think that there's a top receiver that's worth picking that high. But that's just my.
I haven't even seen the draft class yet, so I have no idea which draft class we're running.
I don't have it memorized, but I can tell you right now there is no stud wide receiver worth picking in the top five, even top ten.
All right, Fuzzy.
This is something to think about.
Well, with 9 draft picks in the draft right now, and
yeah, you do have tons of picks.
6 draft picks in the first 2 rounds. You know, I'm going to be looking to hopefully upgrade offensive line, wide receiver, cornerback. Cornerback definitely at like an A-line top cornerback to replace Champ Bailey.
Just trade it. Just trade everything for Calvin Johnson.
I should probably offer Hova, you know, my entire year's salary on, you know.
That's about what it's worth.
I don't think Hova's going to part with.
He's uncoverable. All right, Fuzzy, what do you got?
All right, I'm going to be looking at some more secondary help again. Probably get, get the midget Captain Munnerlin out of there. Get somebody who can actually cover people. Then I'll probably be looking at D-line because especially against the Falcons, if I have a 4-man rush, you know, he has all day in the pocket. He can pick me apart. Mm-hmm. And I also got some aging offensive linemen. That'll probably be another need I'm looking at. And if I guess Rush already said there's no standout wide receivers, but it'd be nice to get a Steve Smith replacement in this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, wonder how many seasons he's got left. I mean,
yeah, he's probably going to slow down next year, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Okay, now the all-important rules discussion. We got a couple topics here. Let's start with salary cap increase. Your thoughts on should it increase? How much should it go up if we increase it? Most people, I think, seem to want it to go up. So let's start with Fuzzy.
Yeah, my logic would be based on how much do the contracts go up and does it cost more to sign rookies? You know, I just don't know those numbers, but I think we'd have to increase it if those things increase.
Mm-hmm.
Chris?
I honestly think leave the cap where it is. You know, for lower teams like yourself, Keller, and myself that, you know, have put ourselves in a position to have the cap space to sign, you know, big-time free agents. You know, this is a way to keep competitive balance in the league. If we keep increasing the salary cap year in and year out, you know, all these top players on other teams are just going to be able to stay there because, oh, well, I've got, you know, an extra $5 million each year or an extra $10 million each year.
Yeah,
the competitive balance would force you to keep your top guys or to let them go.
I think we only raised it. Does anyone remember this, Fuzzy? Or?
I think it was 5%. But if you only raise it a marginal percentage and their contract also goes up, I mean, everybody has equal opportunity with the free agency.
Right. I mean, I think it ended up working out to like 2.5 or maybe 3 million. I'm not sure exactly. Spy, what do you got?
I mean, I've got close to $35 million in cap space, so I want a top free agent. So I'm against moving it up.
Spy, what do you think?
Yeah, I would say about $5 million, to go by $5
million. $5
million? Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
Every year?
Well, at the moment, for this season, I would say $5 million, then see how it goes. But I would say that's pretty accurate. Between mm-hmm. $3 and $5
Curtis?
Yeah, I'm in favor of probably like a minimal increase, maybe $3 to $5 million every season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and right now, I mean, I'm going to lose some players, and I still think I'm going to be over the cap, so I'm going to have to cut probably one of my stars just to sign my rookies.
There you go. fight it out with Nutter there, I guess. Rush, what do you think? Well, your fucking opinion doesn't matter anyway. You weren't here last year. You don't know shit, right?
Yeah, I don't really have much of an opinion because I wasn't, you know, I joined the season late. And I haven't been through an off season yet, so yeah, I haven't been through all this. But I see both sides, so I don't really have an opinion as of right now.
Okay, this one's for BBJ, the outside linebacker defensive end discussion. Let me just speak my piece on this, first of all. BBJ. Outside linebackers and defensive ends have different skill sets. Moving an outside linebacker to defensive end just devalues actual defensive ends that can actually play. Like, I don't get how he doesn't get this, that crappy outside linebackers can play defensive end really well, whereas that makes outside linebackers really special and defensive ends not so much. So I don't know. It makes sense to me. Chris, what do you got?
I mean, speaking as the guy that kind of brought all this about,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm okay with, like, defensive ends dropping back outside linebacker because you lose a lot off that.
Yep.
But
yep.
I just don't see outside linebackers going to defensive end except for, you know, you can use specific packages that man enables you to
right.
do.
Situational has always been allowed. Fuzzy?
Yeah, I tend to agree with your position. I think there's some feedback going on.
Yeah, Rush, yeah. Doing the repeater.
From Rush.
Is it me?
Yep.
It's your speakers.
Turn your speakers down or something.
I just started moving the mouse. I just won't move. I'll just sit here.
Mute, Rush.
Yep. Just mute when you're not talking, Rush. Okay, Fuzzy, continue.
Yeah, I tend to agree with what you said. The distinction that makes them out, you know, linebackers as coverage ability. So,
Spy, anything?
I think we've got to keep a level of realism. I mean, if you look at the Patriots in real life, the amount of flexibility they have, I think maybe take that into consideration.
Curtis? You don't care, do you?
I think not really, but I think like a guy like a superstar or a person like DeMarcus Ware, I think you should be able to swap him because, I mean, honestly, I think he could play both of them. I don't think you should be able to take like a 75 overall and switch him to end and make him like an 89 or something, but a player like Ware, he should be interchangeable.
Think he should be able, so where do you put the cap then? I mean, let's say you open that up and you say, well, superstar players or certain players of, you know, certain skill set can do it. So where do you say, where do you
95
put
95 and up?
95 and up. Does anybody who's 95 and up, they can play wherever they want?
Yeah, concerning D-line and offensive line, but.
Yeah. So, like, T-Suggs, D-Ware, I mean, Clay Matthews.
Yeah.
Doomerville's only 92.
Doomerville. Well, he's already listed as a defensive end, though, so he's a little
different. Yeah, I thought he was an outside linebacker until I saw it the other day.
In the Broncos' defensive scheme this year in the actual NFL, he is playing a mixture of both because they're flipping between the 4-3 and the 3-4, but he's a natural defensive end in the old 4-3 that the Broncos used to do.
Yeah. Hopefully next year they'll just give us the ability to do position changes and we won't have to worry about it. Something important here, trade deadline. When should the trade deadline actually be? Should we hold it to what the NFL standard is, which I don't even know what that is. Anybody know that? I'll stop your head.
Is it week six?
Week six?
Yep.
I think that's a little restrictive personally. But what should it actually be? Spy, it sounded like you were saying something.
No, I was just saying it's week six. I think that's pretty fair.
You think that's pretty fair?
Yeah, I do.
See, I think with the pace we move at, because we advance three times a week, that's literally just 2 weeks to make any sort of trades. So what we've done in the past is set just a different deadline. Fuzzy, anything?
Maybe like week 10 then, since, like you just said, we move at a fast pace.
Yeah, I think that's what we've done in the past. Curtis?
Yeah, keep it where it's at right now. It's week 10, right? I think it's week 10.
Well, like, this year I forgot about it, I'll be totally honest. But if I can put a set date, I'll put it in the rules, and then that way I'll always know what it is. Chris? Yeah.
I agree, week 10. That's what we used to do. I think 10? That's what we stick at.
Week 10.
Week 10. All right. Anybody want to say anything about, I don't know why I wrote this down, the advanced pace, too fast, too slow? Curtis?
I personally like it. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I thought it was going to be too fast at first, but I like it now. It keeps things moving, keep me interested in the league, keep me checking XFN and everything. So I like the pace.
Cool. Fuzzy?
Yeah, I was going to say I like the pace myself versus I think we did it twice a week last year.
Yeah.
That just seemed kind of too slow after, you know, after you lost a tough game and you wanted to get back out there. It was a long period.
Rush?
What were we talking about?
The advanced pace. Is it too fast? Is it too slow?
I don't really have an opinion on that either because I didn't play the whole season. I didn't play a lot of games, so yeah.
All right.
I'd say it's too fast for Rush. I got
too fast for
it.
Yeah, I got caught behind.
Nutter.
It will be a problem.
Chris?
For me, it's a little different being, you know, military and stuff. So, I mean, it gets tough at points for me to make sure I get all my games in because, you know, like I'll be disappearing for a month to go out to the field. You know, I'll miss probably a season while I'm gone in the month time. But overall, like when I'm actually here, it's not a bad pace. I like it.
Spy, how about you? I know you are in a different time zone and you live in like a different world almost pretty much. So what's the advanced pace like for you?
No, it's good. The little fried challenges, I mean, we have 3 games a week, so yeah, it's no problem for me. It's good.
No problem for you? Good. All right, Fuzzy, this is your topic. So I'm gonna let you take this away. Hot routing. Go.
Hot routing. Yeah. So the issue that was brought up is how much is too much. I mean, obviously, if you call a certain play and the defense gives you something else, you know, you're not going to run your passing route right into 4 defenders. So there's certain cases where it's okay to audible to a run or a pass or a hot route your receiver. But in some cases, it seems like some users are just doing it almost every play. You know, whatever. It's hard to disguise your defenses. Like, in real life, it's a bit easier. Mm-hmm. But in the game, you usually can give away what you're going to do by the way you lined up.
And along those same lines, it's it's not even something you can do. Like, if you call, like, a cover three, like, your safeties will just shift, and it's, like, it's obvious
right.
from the snap.
They give it away.
Right. And it's like, well.
So Jesus. Then you can try to call one thing, like, say you really want to do a cover one, so then you audible to a cover two right until the snap, and then you audible back to your cover one. I mean, you have to work around it, and sometimes it begins to feel like it's not fun or realistic.
Mm-hmm. So what would be your rule for hot routing?
It would honestly be hard to draw a black and white line or make an explicit rule. I just challenge everyone to think about how much they're doing it or relying on it. If their numbers are realistic, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Chris, anything? Chris?
I don't really hot route wide receivers. So
really?
I can't really. Yeah, I don't. I just usually, with the play that I called, I just usually go out there and see how my guys will execute. The only time I may audible from like a pass to a run if it looks like, you know, they're in a 3-3-5 and I've got a, you know, wide receiver set cut out and it's like, okay, there's no way I'm going to complete this, so why not try to get 4 yards instead of none? But yeah, I don't hot route wide receivers at all. So I honestly couldn't tell you much how to do it.
You don't come out on a play and be like, oh, you know, Slant's going to be open on the backside, you know. Boom. No?
No. Wow. Really, the only time I play Madden is for the league game.
Sure.
So I don't get that much time to, like, read defenses and stuff like that. I don't play the practice modes to figure out, all right, well, if they're in this coverage, I should throw this or that. You know, I see people saying, yeah, I can spend 2 hours in practice mode. I'm like, I wish I had that much free time.
Yeah. Curtis, what do you got?
I guess I'm going to have to be the guy that disagrees because I think EA, they put in the accelerated clock in order to curb the hot route. I mean, when we come to the line, we only have, what, 12, 14 seconds?
Yep.
You get to make, what, 2-3 moves? I don't see nothing wrong with that.
I mean, especially if you're a guy that likes to motion, which I've really gotten away from in the past couple of seasons. If you try to motion somebody, I mean, that right there takes, you know, 6-7 seconds.
Yeah, you ain't going to give it one.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting, Rush. I know you and me, we're with Curtis, man. We like to make our changes, right?
I know what I'm going to say here. Yeah, I agree with Curtis. I think that unlimited. Is it? Can you hear me talking?
A little bit.
Yeah, there's a bit of an echo.
Myself talking. Is it better now?
Yeah.
Yep.
I just think you're kind of limited with the accelerated clock and with, you know, just so much that you can't do, like, the, you know, custom playbooks. You know, you're just kind of limited on your creativity. And quarterbacks in real life, you know, good quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, they can get up there, read the defense, and change everything. Just constantly change things and read the defense, and that's why they're separated from good quarterback from bad quarterback.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what Fuzzy's saying, though, is defenses can also do a lot more in the real NFL that you can't do in the league.
So much on offense because of the accelerated clock. You don't have time to sit up there and flip the play and do everything. I mean, you don't have time.
I mean, I tend to agree. Let me speak my piece. I tend to agree. I like having more flexibility. That's how I play. But I agree with Fuzzy that at some point, if you're just hot routing a slant, you know, every third down, at some point you have to say, well, that's a problem. So.
Well, there are rules to where you're not supposed to be able to run the same type of play over and over and over.
Right.
It's fine. Right. That's fine.
Everything in moderation.
It shouldn't be running a slant on every third down to pick up a first down. You shouldn't be running, you know, you shouldn't be completing 15 slants a game. But you should be able to come out and hot route whoever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you want.
Okay, Spy.
Yeah, I mean, I had the situation, you know, the first few weeks of the season. Obviously, I was basically taking the piss with Hernandez. So, obviously, I learned that, you know, try and keep it as realistic as possible. I mean, I will use hot routing, but obviously don't overuse it. But if the situation arises, then obviously I'm going to use it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, moving on. Let's do running up the score. Let's start with Fuzzy again, since you wanted to bring this up.
Did I want to bring this up? I don't remember. Anyway, I just think if you've got the game sealed and, you know, you've got the time to run out the clock with some runs, I don't really see the logic in, you know, going up 24, 31, whatever. I don't know. Maybe I'm.
Okay. Is this user games or computer games?
I'd say both. I mean, I think you need to respect your opponent in both cases.
Curtis, go ahead if you got something to say.
I mean, I don't really have nothing to say. I'm just saying Fuzzy came back on me from 20 down in the fourth.
How much time was left? The whole fourth quarter?
Yeah, he scored his first touchdown, I think, was what, 7 minutes on the clock?
Yeah, like in that case, I think you should have, you know, tried to keep me out of it. But in that game where you blew me out, I think you did a good job. You know, once the game was sealed, you ran out the clock. And, I mean, I understand sometimes, like, if the guy's trying to catch up, you know, you're going to get a lot of picks because he's throwing deep a lot. So it can be easy to run up the score, but I don't know. Maybe it just creates better sportsmanship if you don't make the margin so wide.
Mm-hmm. I have more of a problem with running the score up against the computer. I mean, some of these stats is unreal.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's just – it doesn't really prove anything. Any of us can go run up the stats against the CPU. Yeah.
My question to you guys is really, where do you draw the line? I mean, that's what I said on the forum is, where do you draw the line, and then what's the punishment? You know, because the CPU obviously needs to be protected, because like you said, you're not proving anything. Anyone can go out there and run up the score, maybe not to a certain degree, but where do you draw the line? I mean, is it 2 touchdowns? Is it 3 touchdowns? Is it 17 points?
I would say 3 scores. I would say 3 scores up, you should run it.
Well, here's my opinion. Fuzzy said that if you have the game sealed, you should just, you know, round the clock. Well, having the game sealed is really just a judgment call, and that can go different towards anybody. You know, it's just an opinion. It's a judgment call. So
what's sealed? That's my point.
Well, you know, at 8 minutes left and you're down, you're up by 20 or something, the game, to me, is not sealed. The game isn't sealed until, you know, I'm taking a knee and running out the clock. That's when the game's sealed.
Chris?
Yeah, but if you're up 3 scores, you should be running.
Go ahead, Spy.
Yeah, I'm just saying, my personal opinion, if you're 3 scores up, you should be running it. You shouldn't be throwing it.
Well,
it's third and eight? You got a 20-point lead.
If you're up 3 scores and there's 3 minutes left, you know, sure, yeah. But if there's 7, 8, 9 minutes left, pretty much the big chunk of the fourth quarter, that's way too much time to just lay down and then run the ball and punt or run the ball and kick a field goal. It's just too much time because, and, you know, scoring can happen. You could score on special teams. It could be a defensive score. You could get points really fast, and that's too much time to start playing conservative.
Right. Here's my thing. This is something that I struggle with. If I throttle down, if I, you know, start playing conservative, I have a hard time of ratcheting it back up and being aggressive. So I tend to lean towards staying aggressive when I need to be. I mean, still playing more conservative. Obviously, I'm not coming out on first down and throwing bombs.
Right, right. But, that's unnecessary. Right.
Right.
But, won't hesitate to throw on third down if I need to pick up a first down to keep the chains moving and keep the game going, you know, right, when it's late in the game and I'm up. I got no problem doing that.
Right. Chris, you haven't said anything yet.
Nah, as being the guy that usually gets taken to the woodshed by team, I mean, when you're up 35 points in the second half, I don't expect to see you coming out in 4 and 5 wide receiver sets in, you know, the middle of the third quarter when, you know, I'm on the other side of it realizing, okay, I have no chance and I'm running the ball. And you're, you know, coming out in 4 and 5 wide receiver sets. Like, you know, come on. Obviously, you realize your opponent's, you know, it's just their game and it's not yours. If you're up by 3 scores with about, I'll even say 5 minutes left in the fourth, you know, if you bleed the play clock down to 1 on every possession that you have, you're going to pretty much run the clock out. You know, if
technically,
you score, it gets within 2. Then go for it. Not the wide receivers, but
technically the rules are I think it's within 4 minutes of the end is the only time you can run, because we play with shortened clocks and accelerated play clocks. It's in the rule book. It's actually you're not allowed to run the clock all the way down until 4 minutes. Now that's something we could change, but I don't want to waste too much time on it. So
possible. But I also think that everything's a judgment call, and it's going to be a case-by-case basis.
Here's the best rule that you can follow. Don't be a douche.
Exactly.
Exactly.
It's up to 2 minutes, and you can take a knee to take out the clock. Then do that. You know, you take a knee. Don't throw it. Don't do anything stupid. Don't, you know, return a pick for a touchdown when the game's over. Just fall down. That's running up the score.
Right.
Yeah, or throwing a pass within 2 minutes when you have the lead. I mean, I had a friend who was in a game and someone did that to him. Just like you said, don't be a douche. Imagine if you're on the other end of it, like Chris.
Yeah.
It sucks. I'm not going to lie. When you're getting murdered, it sucks. You just want the game to end. Right. And then to see them throw, oh, here's a 30-yarder to my wide receiver. It's like, really? Did you really need that?
Okay, let's keep moving here. We only got about, I want to keep this to an hour top, so we only got about 20 minutes. So the whole non-premier thing that came up on the forum, I want to address that as best I can. The admins approached me prior to the start of this cycle and asked me to take it to a premier, and I voiced my doubts whether or not that was a good decision, but I went with what they thought was the best move, and that was fine. It wasn't until the whole fiasco with me throwing the first season, which obviously I apologized for and admitted fault and all that stuff. I mean, that I can't tell you how big of a fallout that has been for me on the site, but I don't want to focus on that too much. So it was Premier. Now it's not. That's pretty much where we're at. I wouldn't be surprised if we move back to Premier in the next cycle, especially if we really start, you know, if we fill up all the way or if we really, you know, hit our stride as we've kind of been here in the last season. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to move us back to Premier again. So I apologize. It's mostly my fault, guys. So yell at me. Don't direct it at the admins or anything like that. If anyone else has anything to say about it, feel free.
I mean, being the one that brought this up on the site, I guess, I mean, I'll chime in about it. Honestly, we've had the same group of guys pretty much for 5-6 seasons running now. I mean, most of us aren't going anywhere, so, you know, I guess this is kind of a plea to the admin, I guess you could say, is, you know, it's the same group of us. We're all sticking around. Nobody's going anywhere. You know, we'd like to have our premier status back. A lot of us take pride in being part of it, even those of us that lose all the time. We still have fun doing it. Let us have our status back, please. Thanks.
Fuzzy, you're kind of plugged in on the site, so I'll toss it to you quickly. Anything to add?
Well, the only problem I could see with it being non-premier is for those people who were forced to pay the fee to the site and become premier members when the league made the shift. So maybe they feel like they were conned out of their money, but it's really not that big of a deal to me.
Right. Anyone else? Curtis? Spy?
No, nothing.
Okay. So let's talk real NFL football. We've got a bit of time here. So, anything on the games from last week, this week, Tebow Mania, whatever you guys want to say, Chris. I know you have a lot of stuff on Tebow Mania, so I'll let you start.
I mean, what can I say? I like the kid as a human being. You know, Tebow, I would rather have 200 Tebows, like I've said multiple times, in the NFL than guys like Santonio Holmes and the Plexico Burris or the Pac-Man Jones, the guys that are out there in the nightclubs doing stupid stuff, getting in trouble, have kids, have good role models like Tebow. As a player, the kid works hard, but he has a long way to go. So, to answer Rush's question on the forum,
will he be a starting quarterback in 3 seasons?
No.
My vote is yes. Somewhere,
for Denver?
If he continues to progress like he has this year, I think he...
Okay.
If it's not for Denver, he's not going nowhere else.
Rush, if you don't fix your mic, I swear to God, I'm kicking you out of the call.
What happened?
You're doing the repeater, man. Where were we? Fuzzy, Tebow Mania, go.
Yeah, I haven't really vested too much of an interest in him, but I guess I was a hater at first. I just wanted to see him lose. But I had to give him respect for the games he won, you know, and then against the Steelers, that was a hell of a play in overtime. So, I don't know. He plays tough. He doesn't make too many mistakes. I don't know if he'll ever be a starter, but, I mean, he's like a great team leader, a winner. That's about all I got.
And in three seasons, he's going to be where?
A backup for I don't know where.
For someone. Okay, Curtis?
Not really much to say about Tebow. I mean, I don't really want to see a average quarterback all over the TV 24 hours a day. I mean, it don't make no sense to me. As far as the question, I also agree. I think he's gonna be a backup. If he don't start work out for Denver, no other team's gonna take a chance on him and switch their whole offensive style up to appease him.
What about a team like Miami that runs a lot of Wildcat? You think he could find like a niche?
I doubt it. Miami, I mean, they don't even have a coach before. Yet.
Yeah. Spy? Tebow Mania?
He's entertaining sometimes. Against the Steelers, I did enjoy that, but it was just farcical against the Patriots. So, yeah, I'd probably say he'd be a backup in 3 years.
Does anyone know what his stat line was against the Patriots? Wasn't he like 9 for 25 or something like that?
Yeah, nine for 26,
136 yards.
Yeah.
It was pretty pretty terrible. I want to move on. Curtis, you're an actual Saints fan, right? So.
Yeah, man.
So what you got from that game, man?
I want to say the 49ers, they came out. They knocked Pierre Thomas unconscious first drive of the game, and I believe that set the tone because for whatever reason our guys couldn't hold on to the ball. Drew was making he was throwing the ball up for grabs, and it just and then we gave it away at the end. We had it at the end. I don't know why they want to single cover Vernon Davis after 7 catches already. It don't make no sense. You're giving one-on-one coverage with Jenkins. Even though he used to be a cornerback, he can't guard Vernon one-on-one.
I don't think many players can guard Vernon one-on-one.
Yeah, and I didn't agree with all the blitzing on the last two drives either, because that's where the big plays came from. Mm-hmm. We should have maybe played base defense, not prevent, but make Alex Smith make some difficult throws to beat you. Not one with a bang.
I mean, I'll be totally honest. I thought the Saints would run away with it. I didn't turn it on until it was almost 21-0. I mean, it was 14-0, and then they fumbled that kickoff or whatever it was. And I thought, oh, my God, it's going to be 21-0 before you even know it. I was surprised that San Francisco came out. I mean, I guess that defense is their defense that good?
It was good, but it wasn't that good. I believe we gave them 14 points, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They played good defense, but Drew was still going up and down the field on them. He had, 400 and something yards?
Yeah.
4 touchdowns. So it was okay. And then we was down our top two running backs, Ingram and Pierre, from getting knocked out. So, and Sproles, he finally came alive at the end, but he wasn't his usual self either, even though he did have 12 catches, I think.
Yeah, I think he had like 15, actually. talk about Cheezalicious to the running back all the time, especially on that stupid route they run. They run the angle route, you know, all the time. I hate that shit. I can't even run it in Madden. It's so cheap. what did I want to say? I don't know. Anybody else got anything on that game? The Saints, 49ers, Rush, Chris, Buzzy? Anybody?
I was pulling for the Saints, but I thought the 49ers played a good game. Drew Brees played his mind out. But like Curtis said, I think they just needed some more help from the running game.
Can't run against the 49ers. Can't do it.
Can anybody give the 49ers some credit?
look
at the way Justin Smith, the defensive player of the year for the 49ers, and the 49ers players themselves even voted for him.
Yeah, but
he played an absolutely phenomenal game, and the way that those players went out and played for Harbaugh, like when Vernon Davis made that catch, and then went over and Harbaugh was there and they were both crying with each other and stuff. Genuine emotion. The players actually give a shit about Harbaugh and Harbaugh gives a shit about them. And that's what's changed the culture and the philosophy. You know, Alex Smith, everybody wrote him off, but under Harbaugh, Alex Smith is all of a sudden, you know, a serviceable, pretty good quarterback. He reminds me right now of Trent Dilfer. You know, don't make the big mistake. Let your good defense go out there and play, run the ball, and occasionally make a throw here and there. You know, none of the throws that he made, besides the one down the sidelines to Davis, were real huge, difficult throws. But he's managing the game, and the 49ers as a team play great top-notch defense.
They played okay defense, but they was up 17. I mean, if you up 17, you shouldn't let the team take the lead twice in the fourth quarter.
I thought it was interesting. Maybe you can answer this, Curtis. I felt like the sun was a factor early on. When I was watching that first quarter, the Saints were driving into the sun. And you know the Saints don't play well outdoors. I felt like it was an issue. And then as the game went on, the sun went down, and it kind of – yeah, I mean, it was obviously warm and comfortable out. But I don't know. I felt like the sun may have been throwing those guys off playing outside.
Yeah, it could have been. And it could have been the way the 49ers was hitting them because Graham, I want to say, he dropped, what, two passes early?
Mm-hmm.
Then Colston dropped a touchdown pass in the end zone right off his hand. So – you may have something with that.
Sun's in their eyes. The grass is too long. Come on. Give the 49ers some credit. The Saints were the fourth highest scoring team in NFL history. Really? You know, the 49ers went out and beat them. Drew Brees didn't make any quorums about it. Sean Payton didn't make any quorums. Literally, they said, we got beat.
Spy, do you have anything to say about the game? Did you watch it?
Yeah. It's one of the best matches I've seen this season. I thought the 49ers were superb from the off. I thought they blew it. They came back, and I thought it was brilliant.
Brilliant, huh? the other game I wanted to talk about, obviously the Giants and the Packers game. I thought that was I just got finished watching that before we came down here and started recording this. Good game, but Green Bay, bad decision to back into the playoffs the way they did, resting guys. Let's start with Chris.
I honestly don't think it was a bad decision to rest some of their guys because you got to remember, Donald Driver is no spring chicken. Greg Jennings, not a spring chicken either. Rodgers' play wasn't that bad. So it wasn't
he missed throws.
Sat out a game, so he was,
there's a lot of drop passes too.
They had 11 drops. You know, the four-letter network was telling us after the game, you know, that 11 drop passes by Green Bay's receivers, which is very uncharacteristic of the Packers. JerMichael Finley, Jordy Nelson, two of the most sure-handed guys out there, each had two drops. You know, that Finley had a drop in the end zone. Nelson had two drops on big third downs. If the ball hits you in the hands, catch it.
I think Rodgers didn't have that great of a game, honestly. I mean, he's obviously Aaron Rodgers, but he did miss some throws out there that I don't think he normally misses.
Huge throws.
Yeah.
Especially one to Jennings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looked like the game was getting to him mentally, which might have caused some of that. Early on, he got so frustrated.
How about the Giants' defensive line that was getting to him a lot more than Rodgers?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how the Giants play. I mean, that's their scheme, is being able to rush four or five guys and being able to beat you with those guys.
Yeah, they should have respected it.
Right. That's their scheme. Spy, did you watch that game too?
Yes, I thought the Packers were awful, to be perfectly honest. Some of the dropped catches were shocking.
Yeah.
But, you know, fair play to the Giants, thought they totally outplayed them. But and even in the match, the Giants had a lot of BS calls from the referees. So, you know, I thought they got their just the works.
Right. Any other games you guys want to talk? You guys want to talk about the AFC games? I mean, that Baltimore-Houston game was pretty good. TJ Yates looked like a rookie playing in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, he did. I wonder what they're going to do with him next year. They just going to make him the backup? Or are they going to try to move him? I wonder what they're going to do with him.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I mean, I thought he played pretty well. So I didn't watch the whole game, but I did see two of his interceptions he threw, which were pretty terrible decisions, really.
That one to Webb was bad.
Yeah, the one to Webb was just god-awful.
Reed dropped two of them.
Did he really? He dropped two?
Yeah, he dropped two.
Wow.
So it could have been potentially even worse. I mean, does anyone give Baltimore a chance of beating New England? I mean, New England looked so good.
No chance. Absolutely no chance.
No chance.
if they run the ball.
I don't think Baltimore's got a chance. New England is much better against the run than they are with the pass. And the way that the Patriots played with putting pressure on the Tebow, and mind you, I'm not comparing the Denver offense to Baltimore's offense. It's completely different scenarios. But the way New England was able to rush the passer with Ninkovich and the four up front, they looked really solid rushing the passer. And the way that Brady came out and played that game, it honestly looks like Brady is on a mission this year to bring the Patriots back to the Super Bowl, and come hell or high water, he will drag his team kicking and screaming with those two tight ends and his wide receivers.
Yeah. It was interesting seeing Hernandez. What do you have, six carries, I think?
Close to it.
Did you guys catch that? I mean, that's an interesting way.
Hey, his first carry was 40-plus yards, so.
It's an interesting way to scheme there because the up in the box, they look down at what packages you have on the field, and they go, oh, you know, they got their two tight end set, and then Hernandez is lining up in the backfield as a running back. It's just another Bill Belichick wrinkle, I guess. I think as far as the games go, every time I have wanted to just totally write off another team, so the Denver-Pittsburgh game, the San Francisco Saints game, and then the Packers and Giants, I thought those would all be decisive victories, and maybe that's just me being an idiot, but each time I thought those would be pretty decisive. I felt pretty confident that those teams would win, and all three of those teams lost, so...
That's why they play the game.
Yeah, right. That's why they play the game. So I think no one giving the Ravens a chance against the Patriots is interesting.
Baltimore has a chance with their offense, but it's going to revolve around Ray Rice, because Joe Flacco against a Belichick defense, I'm going to give the advantage to Belichick all day long. But Ray Rice, as showed last year in the playoffs, can be a big difference maker. He's the one that was responsible for Baltimore being able to have the game against New England that they did. Plus, when you have Ray Lewis and Ed Reed on the other side of the ball, you're always going to have a chance in the game. I just think Brady's far too motivated this year to let that happen at home.
Yeah, if they can get some pressure on Brady, they have a chance, but I guess that'll be the story of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they are going to get pressure.
T-Sizzle.
Yep.
What about on the NFC side, 49ers and Giants? Who do you guys like in that game? Chris?
I like the Niners. I mean, the Giants are playing top-notch football right now, which is great. But something about the 49ers this year just has me thinking that they're just going to somehow, some way get themselves there. Because the 49ers have a great offensive line that loves to pound the football. And if one thing the Giants' defense has shown this year is if you can wear down their front four pass rushers with a solid run game, they're not as quick to get to the quarterback, which could give Alex Smith an advantage. And the 49ers just play amazing team defense. So I got to go with San Fran.
All right, Curtis.
I'm going to go with the Giants based solely on their defensive line. I mean, you see what trouble they gave to Aaron Rodgers, so imagine what they're going to do to Alex Smith. And so I'm going to take the Giants, get into the Super Bowl. They on a run right now. Eli is hot, I don't think nobody can stop him.
Spy?
I think it's really tight. Oh, I think I'm going for the 49ers. I think it's going to come down to third downs, because Eli got a lot of third downs today. I think that'll be key.
Third downs. The Giants converted a lot of long third downs early in that game. I don't know if you guys heard that call. I think Joe Buck said it at one time. I think Eli was like third and eight, third and 10, third and 12, and then another third and 10. He converted all of them. So the Giants, they could put up points. But against San Francisco, you know, I don't know. It's such a good defense. So Super Bowl picks. That's it. We'll close out with Super Bowl picks. Everyone's Super Bowl picks. Who's winning the Super Bowl? Fuzzy.
I'm calling the Patriots.
Chris?
Patriots over the 49ers.
Curtis?
Ravens over the Giants.
Spy?
I'm biased, but yeah, the Patriots over the 49ers.
Patriots over the 49ers. I'm not going to make any picks. Anybody want to talk about anything else? College football?
Rather not, being an LSU fan.
It's a tough year down there in Louisiana. Okay, well, if that's all we've got, then that's it. I'll just call it that. Thanks for listening, everyone. Jenny Bang! And we pretty much amazing. There is no one like me. Yeah. There is no one like me. Mind your manners. You hear me? And all the people should be raising their glasses. Flow crazy, celebrating the madness. I never thought I would deliver no classics. Then I hooked up with them and they delivered more classics. I've been keeping it true. Hotel good, long as I can peep on the view. Like. Damn, how high are we? You gotta gamble in this life, Charles Ball. I'm overprotected, do the dopest of methods. Now my vocal perfected, this is audio breakfast. Yes, so tell a hater here's a slammer. I know they hating on us, but mind your manners. I arrive, will I? Black out I am, I surprise, will I? And I can't rely on another guy. I was caterpillar into a butterfly. I'm living in the moment, why won't you go and own it? And we don't got the spirits, at least we took Corona. For the sake, homie, I be sipping Tycoon. And you get the wrong number if I don't like you. Say I'm the man, tell me why I gotta lie to anybody, I'm the best, girl, let me advise you. Why? Because I'm feeling invincible. Junior high school, I had a crush on the principal. I guess I was turned on by the leadership. Now we got the game wrapped up on some Peter. So tell a hater here's a slammer. I know they hating on us, but mind your manners. Till they kick me off the booth, and we pretty much amazing. Mind your manners. Yeah, this is etiquette. So you can keep searching and searching. Try to find someone better. How long will that take? I wait.